Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We are joined for the fullness of the hour by Brother Paige Tyler, our 12-step ministry extraordinaire. And today we have the privilege of taking a look conversationally at step 8. Brother Paige, welcome to our broadcast.
Thank you, Bradley. Always a pleasure and a blessing to be
here.
Well,
the pleasure and blessing is mutual, be assured. And I have no doubt that the audience places a high premium upon your insight and counsel. I know that I do. And brother, I think now, let me see, it's August of 2026, and you and I first met sometime during 2004. So it has now been 22 years that we have been friends and partners in mission. Praise God.
Amen. What a blessing.
Indeed. I don't know how much more I can put up with you, but that's another issue.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd have stuck around if I knew it was going to take this long.
Yeah, I figured when you left briefly in 2004 that we were done with you. You know, you decided to come back. Praise God. And here you are, 21 more years later.
Yep. What a blessing.
Well, I thank God. You're as true a Christian as I know and as true a friend as I know. And I love doing these monthlies with you. Brother, share with us about step 8. If you wish to offer any preliminary word, by all means.
Okay, step 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amend to them all. This is my skip step. I always say people in the program, they get to step 5, they hop over step 6, skip step 7, and jump into step 8. This is my jump in.
And if I may, brother, for the sake of the audience, would you refresh us as to steps 6 and 7 that are being skipped over?
Yes, we are. In fact, I was actually going to do a refresher on the whole thing, but
all right, good.
Step 6 was entirely ready, have God remove all these defects of character. And step 7 was humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Of course, if you notice, from step 5 on, we keep calling, we have different names for the same thing. In step 5, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another person the exact nature of our wrongs. There, our defects were our wrongs. In step 6, became entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Here, our wrongs have been relegated to defects of character. They're simply defects that we have picked up along the way from this terribly misguided society that we live in. And then in step 7, we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. So now our wrongs have turned into defects and have become shortcomings. All those phrases mean exactly the same thing. They are spiritual deviations that have crept into our character that separate us from God. So now, when we get to step 8, we are beginning the process of reconciling ourselves to God and to man. So we didn't just, in step 5, when we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs, that was not reconciliation. That was not repentance. That was acknowledging the condition that we were in. But just acknowledging the condition that we're in, acknowledging that we're sinners, and not doing anything about the sin nature that's in us, leaves us still sinners. So we're not getting any better. So in step 8, we start the process of reconciling ourselves to God. And We're reconciling ourselves to God. We're reconciling ourselves to man. And we're reconciling ourselves to society as a whole. So in this step, we begin the process of reckoning with our past. And these two steps, step 8 and 9, will culminate that. We will reconcile ourselves in two steps with God, with man, and with society. And then we will be allowed to move on into the blessed part of the steps, which is what I call the holies. You start moving on as you start growing in God, growing in Christ, where you're walking with him and you're talking with him on a daily basis. He becomes your confidant and your companion. He's both your brother and your healer. And that's what we're working toward now. So we got ourselves in this situation by working through the other steps. I went back to 5. 5 is good enough. I don't have to go all the way back to 1 for us to move forward in the step 8 where we made a list. Now, every time I go to a group or I get with a group of people and they start talking about step 8, the minute they start talking about step 8, they start talking about making amends and how hard it would be to make amends and how difficult it would be to even find some people to make amends with, when that is not what step 8 asked you to do. Step 8 clearly asked you to make a list of all persons you had harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. So it's a two-part step. One, listing, acknowledging what harm you had brought to others. And then number 2 is becoming willing through prayer in Christ Jesus to our Heavenly Father. We ask for the wisdom and the strength to become willing to make amends to them all. Now, let me pause here for a second and take a little and try to take these steps and put them all in a little package. Because the reason why these steps are the way they are is because they are not a once-and-done set of steps. That's why in the big book, steps 6 and 7 are just a paragraph. Because the big book, and the big book is the book Alcoholics Anonymous that was written for alcoholics who are coming out of the throes of alcoholism. That book was written for the very earliest beginners who are approaching God or Jesus. Earliest beginners, the earliest beginnings of a spiritual life. So it was thought that steps 6 and 7, if we could just get them to accept step 6 and 7's principles, that later they would be able to work step 6 and 7 into their lives. And step 6 and 7 become a lifelong journey. Well, sure enough, I can't speak for anybody else, but sure enough for me, as soon as I got finished fixing defect number 1, I found defect number 2, 3, 4, and 5 underneath it. And as soon as I addressed each one of those were covering up additional defects that I had hidden from myself.
Well, doesn't Jeremiah the prophet, God speaking through Jeremiah the prophet, say, I believe it's the 2nd chapter of Jeremiah, that the human heart is deceitful beyond measure. Who can fathom it? You could compare the human heart in a negative sense, given a fallen condition, to an onion. Peel away one sin, and you're going to find several more peels or layers of sin that are readily present and active.
Yep, and that's exactly what, this is the reason why these steps are considered ongoing. You continue working them in step 10 for the rest of your life. But let's not jump ahead of ourselves. Right now, we're just going to get started. For those things that we can recognize today, We are going to simply make a list, and then we're going to hit our knees. And we're going to ask God to make us willing to make amends to each and every person. Now, that becoming willingness starts out with, well, I wouldn't have done this if they didn't do that. That's not making amends. Acknowledging their wrong is not making amends. It doesn't justify your wrong. So we have to go through the process. I wouldn't have done that if they didn't do this. But what I did was wrong. So what did I? So we got to get back on ourselves and take our own inventory and work on our own inventory and say, what did I do to cause harm?
And there's a principle at play, but we'll pick up on the other end of the break. I'd like to raise with you this principle. I have no doubt you will be in complete concurrence. But until then, Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler of the 12 Steps for Christians, we return with the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler of the 12 Steps for Christians, returning with the second round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Paige, as I'm often wont to express, as are you, we're looking at a series of steps, which on one level, if you just read them on a superficial basis, it's a mechanical process. But if you read them with any heart in mind, that mechanical process becomes, if you will, a lifestyle. And built into or part and parcel of this lifestyle, by my estimate, is the word preparation. I had a professor at college. He was a professor of Old Testament, Dr. Marvin Wilson, a very fine scholar and a very dear Christian man. And he posed a question to us. He knew that most of us were preparing to become pastors or ministers of some ilk. And his question was, if you had 7 years of preparation and 1 year of ministry, or 1 year of preparation and 7 years of ministry, which should you take? The answer, the correct answer, and I can see by the wry smile on your face that you know, the correct answer is 7 years of prep to put into the 1 year of ministry. And I mention this because you've been accentuating the fact that step eight is not confronting people with what you've done, but making a list concerning all that you've done to harm people. And my point here is that, in the very least, the first eight steps are preparatory to that act of coming clean with people and seeking their forgiveness. You best be prepared, and not just you. While you're preparing, you best be praying that the people you need to address are ready to receive you.
Exactly.
Correct?
Yeah. You guys, this whole thing has gone over from a I thing to a you thing, and the you is God.
Yeah.
You know, I'm no longer in control. I gave up that control in step three. People who just jumped in here, step three was turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. I gave up that control. And this is now, through this process, this is now executing and giving that control over to God. You've stepped out of yourself. You can't do this on your own. This is like giving yourself an appendectomy. You know, the first slice of the daggone scalpel, you're going to go running for the nearest Band-Aid. You're not going to be able to do that. And emotionally, we can't even face these things emotionally, so we rationalize them and push them down and deny that they even exist in our personality. And we put up this fake personality that we want people to see and what we want people to think we are, but we actually are denying all of these deviant parts of our personality that we have allowed to fester over the years. Now, don't get out of whip and start beating yourself, because more than likely, if you're anything like me, these deviant behaviors were developed by, for me, a 6.5-year-old child who was suddenly thrown in the first grade in a public school and was accosted by what were, to me, some of the meanest people on earth, which were children, you know, who took every occasion to bash or dash the expectations of anybody around them.
You know, my father, my father, who was a criminal trial attorney in Boston, said to me once when I was perhaps a teenage boy, he says, Bradley, and he was not as of yet a committed Christian, but he said to me, Bradley, do you know why I know there's real evil in the world? The evil is real evil? I said, tell me, Dad. He says, go into any district court in the country, and you'll encounter all of the juveniles who are going before the judge. And so many of those juveniles, not that they haven't been hurt or damaged, my father had every compassion, but he says, Bradley, I saw evil in the heart of those kids. So original sin, which G.K. Chesterton said was the one empirically verifiable dogma of Christianity, we see it even in children.
Yep.
And you were on the receiving end of it.
I was on the receiving end of it. But then I picked up a stick and decided to defend myself. And I went overboard on the other end of it, because that justified me for doing what I was doing. So evil is evil. I mean, you know.
I told you, Paige. You should have went with Thor's hammer. The stick did you no justice.
Well, I think if I went with Thor's hammer, I'd probably be in jail now. I came close enough with the stick.
I'm going to tell you something about jail in the next segment, but you continue with your train of thought.
So here we are now. We are now moving ahead. Step 6 and 7 were the doorway for which we passed through. Where step 6 and 7 were prayer steps. They were purely prayer steps. We humbly asked God to remove all of our shortcomings, and we became willing to have God remove all of our shortcomings. That's the doorway that which we passed through. And that doorway, the key to opening that door was willingness. Willingness to do it God's way, not our way. Willingness to get off the daggone throne and let God sit on the throne in our life where he's supposed to be.
I don't mean to be vulgar, so maybe I shouldn't put it this way. It's nothing that radio can't accept. But that throne of which you're speaking is a toilet bowl. Or, I mean, you know what we do with that, right? That's essentially what we're doing when we're sitting on the throne.
That's what we're doing. And we're making clearly, look at the world around us. Everybody I know, everyone who knows anything, knows that we are on the precipice of something. Something major is coming. We can feel it in the atmosphere around us. And yet, no one has an answer for it. No one knows what's coming. No one's sure. And no one has an answer for it. The Bible gives us, not only told us that this was coming, but the Bible also gave us an answer for it as well. And these steps came out of the Bible. Don't let anybody fool you. They were extracted from the Bible. They're designed as an entry-level introduction to Christianity.
Well, if I may, there are Bible verses, there are Bible passages, there are Bible books, there are Bible doctrines and perhaps dogmas. There are also biblical principles. And as Christians, we need to be assured that we're not only aware of these principles, but that we're endeavoring to practice them. And if there's a struggle to practice them, we need only ask God, because as Jesus put it so beautifully and so simply, we have not because we ask not. But Paige, I must ask you for a moment or two, because the station requires its time. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler of the 12 Steps for Christians, we return with a third round of the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We're looking at step 8 of the 12 Steps for Christians. And step 8 reads, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Brother, a thought I wish to put to you, a thought predicated upon an encounter. A while back, last year, during the first half of last year, I was at a church in West Philadelphia, a very fine pastor, very fine associate pastor. They were having a special evening service. I was invited to attend. And while in attendance, I met a man who I was told had spent time behind bars. Well, the story is that this man in 1975, at 15 years of age, in West Philly, was involved in a robbery of a convenience store. It was a robbery that went awry. And during that robbery going awry, a police officer was shot and killed. All of the, whether it was two or three kids, I can't recall now, but they were all arrested. And they were given life sentences without parole. As of 1975, this particular man in question was a prisoner without ever any hope of getting out. While in prison, he was confronted with the gospel by a lovely woman who came into the prison on a regular basis, and he entrusted his life to Jesus Christ. There was perhaps a 10-year period during which he did little or nothing with that gospel, but at the end of which he started growing powerfully and exponentially in the Lord. Again, no hope of parole. In 2012, the United States Supreme Court ruled that those sentences of minors were unconstitutional. And in 2020, after 45 years behind bars, at 60 years of age, on the cusp of COVID, he was released into the world. 5 years later, he's happily married. His wife is a sweetheart. He is working for the city of Philadelphia, and he has a ministry to prisoners. And after I met him, I invited him to share his testimony at a luncheon, and I invited some other men. No idea that there would be any connection amongst three of these men. They all happened to be sitting in the same general section of our church hall. If you're facing the altar to the left, right before the musical portfolio, I think you know the space. I know you do.
Yep.
And would you believe they recognized one another? You know why? They had all been in the same jail together. None of them knew the others would be there. I had no idea there was any connection. They had spent time together behind bars out in Western Pennsylvania. They all came to know Christ. They were all serving Christ now. One's a pastor. One has a ministry to prisoners. The third has a musical ministry. And what an extraordinary reality. And I was just with this man at the Phillies game the other night. And I mention all of this because, as painful as all of that was, 45 years or whatever the other sentences were for these men, this was preparatory time. Maybe it could be deemed extreme, but I doubt any of these guys would think they needed less than that. They're humble men. They've allowed the Spirit of God to penetrate their lives. They're allowing the Spirit of God to use them. He is sovereign on the throne. And as I reflect upon their lives and we work our way through these 12 steps, I can't help but accentuate all the more the need for proper preparation. If step 8 takes 10 years, let it take 10 years.
Exactly.
If you have to wait till you're 60 years of age to go to these people, then you wait, because so much is at stake. The prospect of reconciliation, the sensitivities of the person you may have harmed, your own degree of maturation or lack thereof, so much is at play and at stake here.
Yes, and in fact, one of the most dangerous people in the world, or second most dangerous person in the world, is a person with an 8-step list in their hand, going out on their own in order to make amends, daggone it, and you're going to hear my amends whether you like it or not.
Well, I'm going to say they're one of three dangerous types. The first is the first type are first-year theologians at school.
Yes. Right?
The second type are second-year psychology students. And the third type is the step eighters.
The step eighters, right? The guy, right. He's got his list, and you're gonna hear his amend, and you're gonna accept it, daggone it, or else. You know, that's not God's way. The way this works is this is an overtime. You're gonna make this list, and you're gonna go and do the ones that are readily available to you. And we'll see when we get to step 9. There's criteria. Some people you may never be able to make the amends directly to. But yeah. I have found that when I pray, God gives me other ways in order to make the amends. In fact, for my life, coming back to the church was a making amends to society. Because society was on my list. And I needed to make amends to society. Now, how do I make amends to society? And God says, well, there's this whole structure out there. It's called the church. And oh, by the way, they care for people. Why don't you go there and try and help? And through that, you'll make amends to society. They didn't come from my head. They came from prayer and God leading me. I would have never even thought of that.
I think of David Berkowitz, known as the Son of Sam. Those of who are old enough to recall, in the late 70s, he was wreaking havoc in New York City. He claims he was moved by a voice, a demonic voice. Since being behind bars, he's come to know the saving truth of Jesus Christ. He's been delivered from demonic oppression and possession. He's still alive. He can't make it up to any one individual because he's killed them. He can't necessarily make it up to their families because he's behind bars. But like you're saying, he's endeavoring to make amends to society. His whole life now behind bars is a ministry of getting the word of God to other prisoners and to people outside of the prison. He is saturated in getting God's word out into the hands and hearts of people. He's making amends to society, isn't he?
Right. Yes. And no doubt God led him to do that way because he has, what tools does he have in front of him that even if he could go out to the families? How many families would even accept him or even they wouldn't even talk to the poor man.
No, I agree with you. What I will say, though, on the other side of the coin, you know, I went out to a picnic. This gentleman invited me out to a picnic a few weeks ago. We were out in Lancaster. And I'm not really a picnic kind of guy. I went out of courtesy to my friend who invited me, and lo and behold, I loved it. You know why? I was with a group of ex-cons who had come to know Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, I've been around a lot of, graduates of college and university. Okay? I take nothing away from that privilege. But being amongst a group of ex-cons who graduated from the prison system, I found to be preeminently edifying. These guys were just steeped in gratitude towards God, and they were applying themselves in just this manner. Whether they've done the 12 steps in a technical sense, I don't know. But they clearly have been applying these steps in a way that is bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. It was one of the most salutary encounters I've ever had, spending a Saturday afternoon with a group of ex-cons who came to know Jesus Christ while behind bars. They've done their time. They've paid their dues, but Paige, they've done their work too.
Yeah, Bradley, that must have been a great spiritual environment, because I've seen you at picnics before, and it's just not your area of expertise.
I'm like a fish out of water.
Right.
My pasty white skin, I'm a fish out of water. But this was a joy, and they've done their work, as we like to say, within this 12-step movement. And part of that work is preparatory. We want to do for God. And I think that's a legitimate desire.
Right.
But you can't do anything for God if he's not doing it through you. And in order for him to do it through you, he has to be doing it in you. And you have to get out of the way and let him.
Right. It's got to come from the inside out. Everybody's searching for God out here in where he is in the marketplace. And he's not there. There's no self-help book that's going to help you find him. There's no book written by any guru that's going to help you find him or any spiritual leader. You have got to find God within yourself. And the 12 steps is one mechanism to help you do it. Like I say, the 12 steps, you got to always remember, were synthesized out of the Holy Bible. And conversations with other spiritual men during the times of the late 30s and early 40s, really mostly the 30s, that brought the comic, because the book was written in 1939, that brought the book together and culminated in a path for the most, we're talking about the most derelict of persons to be able to find their way back to God.
And it's a book that incorporates a set of principles that stand the test of time. Indeed, they're eternal steps. Praise God.
Right.
Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler, we return with one final round of the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler of the 12 Steps for Christians, returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Brother Paige, we're talking about the requisite, the mandate, the necessity, and the opportunity for preparation if we're to make amends with God, with those we've harmed, with society at large, even with ourselves.
Right.
But all of these principles are rooted in the text of Scripture. So please share with us the particular Scripture that's applied to Step 8.
And all of us know this one. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Luke 6:31. And we've all heard that one all of our lives, and maybe even have glossed over it without taking it for its spiritual meaning. But it says that you should treat others as you want to be treated. And that's a very important part. You got to give to them what you would want to happen in a given situation. And that's where step 8 is. Step is we're going to put these people down on this piece of paper with this heart of wanting to give to them what we would want. If this had happened to me, what would I have wanted? And that's where we're going to make a list of the persons we had harmed and become willing. That's the hard part. Easy to make a list. Second part is the willingness is a broken heart, a broken and contrite heart that God values so much. That's what you have to come with these harms. You have to become brokenhearted over them. And I have actually been there where I literally have cried over when I look back and see things that I have done. And it just breaks my heart to see myself doing things that, A, not only to other people, But what bothers me even more is that I'm doing it before the throne of God. You know, God is watching this all along, and I'm breaking his heart by doing these things.
Do you ever watch a movie when something very unpalatable plays out and you can feel it like fingernails on a chalkboard? You know, that's essentially what we're doing to God, because he sees all. And what we do can be so grievous. I mean, the Bible does say that we are not to do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's like causing the Holy Spirit to feel fingernails on a chalkboard. I don't know how else to put it, or at least that's what comes to mind first and foremost. You know, here's an example. You know, how many times have you frequented Wawa, right? And I always get a kick when I go in and out of Wawa, because everybody holds the door for everybody else. Oh, thank you. You're welcome. Thank you so much. No, thank you. No. Thank you. Right? Okay. But from time to time, and I was in a Wawa, I was entering a Wawa recently where the lady in front of me was utterly just the fact that I was behind her meant nothing. I don't want to say she slammed the door in my face, but she sure didn't extend the door to me, and it closed in front of me. And whenever that happens, I just stand in front of the door for a moment for dramatic effect. I don't know why I do that. I did it on this occasion. But I wanted to say...
Everybody, did you see that? Everybody, did you see that?
They just want me to open the door, you know? But I thought to myself, lady, would you want somebody doing that to you? You know? And I'm not meaning to vilify her. It's simply an illustrative thing. I remember another time I held Peggy, my wife was in the car. This was the 7-Eleven in Conchi. My wife was in the car, and I got out to get her a cup of coffee. The lady, I held the door for the lady coming out, and she did not say thank you. So I kept my end of the social covenant, and I politely said, you're welcome. All right. So I went in, I got Peggy's coffee, I came back out, and I see the same lady over talking to a police officer, and you would know who the officer is, related to one of our former congregants. And she's just off the wall, and he's trying to calm her down, and I don't know what's going on. I get into the car, I give my wife the cup of coffee, and Peggy says, what did you say to her? What did I say to who? What did you say to the lady over there talking to the police officer? Oh, I explained to her the situation. And my wife replied, well, that explains what happened. The moment you went into the store, she went off. Now, I probably shouldn't have upheld my end of the social covenant. But I did. And she went off. Probably it would have been best for society as a whole, and certainly for that police officer, if I had not upheld my end of the covenant. You know, I was being selfish. I was being self-righteous. And frankly, unless I was willing to confront her head on, I was being vindictive. I have to acknowledge that. Now, I doubt I'll ever see this lady again, so I can't make amends to her. But what I can do is not do that again, not cheaply substitute genuine truth for what is ultimately vindictive self-righteousness.
Exactly. What a great example that is, because that's the kind of petty stuff that we do day in and day out. And we won't catch it without the Spirit of the Lord working in us. We won't catch it.
Right.
We won't see it at all. We come out of the store and say, I don't care if she's mad. She deserves it. You know?
Yeah.
I can't say thank you.
Yeah, I remember when Magic Johnson, it went public that he had been diagnosed with the AIDS virus. And look, I'm a Celtics fan. I hate the Lakers, all right? In those days, I hated that smile on Magic Johnson's face. I hated it. Right? Now I can appreciate it, but then I hated it. Wipe that smile off your face, you faker. But when he was diagnosed with AIDS, maybe he brought it on himself, but we all bring things on ourselves. I had a heart of compassion for the guy, but I heard devout Christians, oh, he deserves it. We all deserve it, all right? We
Yes.
all deserve it. We best understand this. And these 12 steps, including step 8, are predicated upon grace, the grace of God.
I praise God.
Last word, brother. You got 45 to 55 seconds.
I praise God that he did not give me what I deserve.
Yeah.
And I thank God he doesn't give most Christians what they deserve. And you need to work like steps, something like these steps, to get a good look at your heart. If you think that somebody else is getting what they deserve, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's frightening. It's frightening. Who was it? Whitney Houston, when she died, I heard some people, I was at a function, and they had no sympathy for what happened. I mean, yeah, she committed suicide, but what brought her to that point? There was no compassion. I think these
right.
12 steps are grounded
yep.
in the compassion of God for us, and our execution of them should be grounded in compassion for the human condition, which incorporates those we've harmed. But, brother, we're out of time. God bless you, and thank you.
God bless you.
Brad Lacey.
Thank you.
Brother Paige Steiner. We bid you God's grace and blessing in every way.